Anime! Guys, we're back.
With anime?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Absolutely.
Took a break.
Welcome to the new schedule.
The bi-weekly schedule.
Because we feel like having two episodes generates more of a meaningful conversation.
Especially because a lot of the, most of these shows are like built around two episode arcs.
Yes. Speaking of which, the most recent two episodes of Yo-Yo's Bizarre Adventure.
Dude. They are fighting a new enemy.
Yeah.
They are fighting the White Album.
Yes. White Ice.
No, White Album.
No, I read those Japanese subtitles, and I know they said white.
No, it didn't. In the beginning of the latest episode, it said Hwaito Arabamu.
No, it said White Ice Harden.
God damn it. So there is the new member of the Hitman team is coming after our boys. Our Italian mafioso boys.
Yeah.
And he has the power of ice. Giorno and Mista have been tasked with going on ahead and grabbing the, I guess, basically a floppy disk.
Yeah.
A floppy disk from a lion statue, I believe in Venice, is where they're headed to.
It's, what is it called again? When it's like half lion with wings and then the tail from...
Griffin?
Is that what it is?
Is it a griffin? No.
Or chimera? Chimera.
Chimera. Chimera. It's like a chimera statue. And it's like, go get the disc, bitch.
Yeah.
And they're like, all right, fine. So they're driving along the highway, just kind of chilling, doing whatever. And they start to notice that their windows are getting foggier and foggier. And they're like, what the fuck is happening? And then Mista goes to look at the window, and his face gets stuck to the window. And it's because the guy's stand power... White Album has the ability to freeze things, has the ability of ice. And not just like some regular old bullshit, like instantaneous Sub-Zero Mortal Kombat style freezing.
Yeah.
At one point, he freezes the moisture coming out of the exhaust pipe of the car in order to crawl back to the car after getting knocked off. Yeah. Like
it's extra levels of what?
Extra levels. Yeah. Extra levels.
Yeah.
I thought one clever way that Giorno did get the ice off the car the first time was that he grew vines.
Yeah.
And everyone knows that like nothing can stop nature. Like you see pictures of just flowers growing through rocks and shit and they don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
So he used that. He turned his steering wheel into vines and broke through the ice. But then this is where it gets crazy because our hitman assassin, his stand... is actually, this is the first case of this in the whole franchise, is a something that he can wear.
Yeah, it's his stand's in armor.
Yeah, his stand's body armor.
Yeah.
And so he puts it on, and he's got skates.
Yes.
And he's like a straight speed skater.
Yes.
It's got fully decked out, and he just goes for it. He skates faster than the car. And I think these types of stands are really cool. Because it makes it so that the user also has to be physically fit and be able to do these things.
Yeah.
Even if the stand is helping you,
yeah.
It's not the whole thing of, I'm going to stand here and then watch my stand just beat the shit out of you, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'm physically doing something.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool the first time I saw it. But then we get into the bullshit episode. After all that, the first episode is basically them... figuring out the power of ice and then seeing some of its limitations.
Yeah.
Then we get into the bullshit. The bullshit episode is right after Giorno drives his car into a river. And he's all like, I drove the car into the river on purpose. Because there's so much water, it'll take longer for the ice to freeze things. Because just volume, right? And then Iceman's just like, LOL, no. And he just fucking freezes the car.
So, I was confused. I'm like, the man can freeze air instantaneously. You think water's going to pose a problem?
Yeah. So, and that is brought up later, but we'll get to that.
Yeah.
So, Giorno was just straight wrong.
Yeah.
Like, he took the risk and he was just wrong.
Yeah.
it froze his hand, shattering it.
Yeah.
It was enough. He made enough of a diversion to where Mista could get on top of the car. What he did to the hood there and then is that he tried to create more vines to get through the ice. Iceman saw this coming, froze the whole thing, just kept the grass was only alive because of it was basically like the only things that can grow here now in this cold weather are things that grow in the tundra.
Yeah,
right?
It's grass.
And so there's a bunch of grass.
Yeah.
This is the first part. This is bullshit. counter number one.
Yes. Wow. Extra bullshit.
Mista grabs a bunch of the grass from the car, piles it together, and makes a snowboard, baby.
So at this part, Mista's like, it's like Mista always knew he was going to make a snowboard.
He always do.
Because Jorna was like, oh, sorry, I can't provide the vines. He's like, no. I just need the short grass. And it's like, grass. What?
Yeah.
And he turns into a fucking snowboard.
And he fucking snowboards away.
So that's the second part. Where did he get the momentum?
Kicked it. I don't know. Okay. He jumped off the car.
Yeah.
I guess.
Okay.
Sure. He did, like, do a little cool freeze frame, like, method grab.
Yeah.
Right?
Like, I thought he came off a mountain. I'm like, no.
No. I think he just got a two-step run and then jumped off the car. Right. And then went on the ice.
Yeah, okay.
Then after that, we learn that the villain can instantaneously unfreeze things.
Yeah.
Right? Which makes the snowboard fall apart because it's grass and ice.
Yeah.
It makes Mista sink, and it also frees up Giorno inside the car. Giorno reattaches his hand.
Yes.
Because that happens.
Because he's got that ability.
He's got that happen. And Mista finds a weak point in the suit of armor. Because it's pretty much unpenetrable. Like, they try and punch the shit out of it, it barely cracks. They try and shoot it.
Yeah.
It barely cracks.
Yeah.
And they find a breathing hole in the back of his neck.
Yeah.
That is sometimes covered, depending on how the enemy is looking around, is covered by the helmet. So Mista shoots some fish to distract him, and then shoots another bullet to kick into the back of the neck hole.
Yeah.
And they're like, bitch, we got him. And Hitman Boy's like, bitch, you don't got nothing. Because this is bullshit number two. So you took chemistry, you took physics, Vince. So what happens to a gas when it becomes cold enough?
When it becomes cold enough?
Or sorry, what happens to a liquid when it becomes cold enough?
When it becomes cold enough, it freezes.
Yeah. It freezes, it does, right?
Yeah.
So what happens to a gas when it becomes cold enough?
Turns into liquid.
It turns into liquid.
Awesome. Unless it's super cold, then it becomes a solid.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, using this basic knowledge
yes.
of science and chemistry and,
yeah.
and physics,
yeah.
We can deduce that this is completely possible.
Yes.
That White Album's signature move,
yeah.
Guitar Gently Weeps, just like the song name.
Fuck.
Instantly freezes air.
Yes.
Instantly freezes air.
Yes.
Because air is a gas.
Yes.
Air is a gas.
Yes.
In the manga, this is much more nefarious. Because it creates basically invisible walls. Like the ice is so pristine and pure that you see through it. Where in the anime, they show the little pieces of floating air,
yeah.
like ice blocks, right? And it makes Giorno's next move make a whole lot more sense.
Yeah.
Which is they're fighting up on top of, Mista and the Iceman are fighting up on top of the shoreline. And Giorno just smashes his new attached hand onto the car. And just starts bleeding fountains of blood.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And he does this to reveal the pieces of air that are frozen around White Album.
Yeah.
So that Mista can shoot his shot without ricocheting into the wrong areas.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Because what happened is that when he got ricocheted, the bullet came back at him. He White Album was able to freeze the air in such a way where it deflected the bullet. And not only away from them, but then back to Mista.
So this is the part where I was just like, how does it ricochet so perfectly? Because ice is not exactly the hardest substance.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the size that they depicted it at.
Yes.
Wouldn't it just shatter?
Yeah, but what if it was so cold? I'm just going to end my sentence there. But what if it was so cold?
Okay. Whatever. Why am I questioning it?
Because that's basically what happens, is that he makes it so cold that the ice becomes like okay, almost indestructible.
Fair enough. But we all know that any object that's moving is consistently losing momentum.
Mm.
A bullet is probably one of the most nefarious things for losing energy at the highest rate possible.
Yes.
So how does it ricochet on for fucking ever?
Okay, but what if I told you that it was so cold that friction in the air didn't exist?
If it was so... No. If it was so cold, there'd be more friction.
No. What if I told you it was so cold that there was... All that friction turned into no friction.
Okay,
buddy. Like it looped back around and there was no friction.
Okay.
Like I have no explanation for that part. That this is where like this anime dude like relax. This is probably bullshit part number three, where Mista finally gets White Elm into a corner.
Oh yeah.
And because he had tried to shoot the back of his neck another time, he had basically fucked up the stop sign like real bad, and he put him in such a position to where the hole in his neck was exposed as White Album walked backwards into this pole, and a piece of jagged metal jabbed into his spine.
I think we got to hold back.
Okay,
there's one part here.
What was the part I missed?
Mista shoots six shots.
Oh yes, into the stop sign.
Sure.
Yeah,
and they all ricochet everywhere.
Mm. This is where the ricochet happens, because he shoots six into the stop sign to do the initial bank.
Yeah.
Then Sex Pistols do the other banks to hit him into the back.
Yeah.
And then White Elm's like, nah, bitch, I froze the air. It's all coming back at you.
Yeah. So Mista gets shot six times.
Yeah.
Six times.
Eat your heart out, 50 Cent.
In the body. Also that he can be like, squirt, 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 blood.
Yeah. He's all like, this was my resolve. My resolve was to, I'm not joking. This is the line in the show. My resolve was to be shot by my own bullets so that I could squirt blood in your face. And because it's so cold around you, the blood instantly freezes over your mask, allowing you not to see.
Yes. And then that's how he tips back because he can't see. Yeah.
And he tips back into the jagged stop sign, and gets his neck pierced.
Oh, God.
Which comes into bullshit number four.
Yes.
Where after they have, you know how like in anime, sometimes you have a punching fight where everyone's just doing rapid fire punches and they're going, da, 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 right? Yeah. This one is a bullet fight where Mista is just shooting bullets and then we're getting it reflected back at him. He's just constantly getting shot.
Yeah.
And when you think that it's all over, it looks like there's just a headshot to Mista. It's donezo. He's dead. But it's not. Because Giorno comes up, stops the bullet, and is like, I have seen your resolve. Your resolve is the greatest. Oh my God. It's so good. I love your resolve. And I was like, I will finish this fight.
Yeah.
And before he's like, but I have cemented myself. White Album, when getting pierced by the metal thing, had blood splurred out, but then he froze the blood to like prop himself up on the pole so that he wouldn't get pushed back anymore.
Yes.
And Giorno's like, I don't give no fucks. And he just walks up and Oda kicks him in the chest until the whole thing goes through his neck and he dies. Yeah, yeah. And then everything instantly melts.
Yeah.
And our boys, our mafioso boys, successfully get the disc.
Yeah.
And they have to heal Mista.
Oh, yeah.
Which this is where they explain that they're not really healing. It's that he's taking inanimate objects and recreating them into your own body parts.
Yeah.
So he took the bullets inside the body and then recreated the holes and damaged pieces of Mista and then fixed him.
Yeah.
Which kind of explains how he fixes his own arm.
Yeah.
Kind of explains how after Abaccio cut off his own hand, why he has his hand back.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Okay. After that, we get to the final scene where Natsuracha shows up driving a boat. Bruno and Abaccio and everyone else, the whole crew, is in the turtle. And Natsuracha is just doing the boat. And they find Giorno and Mista. And listen, I'll admit, this part, gay.
Absolutely.
All the other parts where they're like posing, when Mista was like in this weird like cross arm thing bleeding.
He had all the poses.
Yeah, all the poses in this episode, heterosexual as fuck.
Yeah.
All right. This part where Mista is screaming out, oh my God, be gentler. I can feel it through my clothes.
Yeah.
that kind of, and he's just like, oh, and then Giorno is just head bobbing near the crotch.
Yeah.
That part's gay.
Yeah.
I'll fully admit, not that there's anything wrong with being gay, but I will admit that part is gay.
That was, I just thought it was a dumb joke. I was like, oh, God.
It is a very dumb joke, yeah. But also the only instance of gayness in this whole show.
Okay. For good reason, I guess.
And that is the end of the episode. With that, there is only one assassination member left. At the ending of the first episode in this two-parter, we did see a silhouette of the boss. So the boss is a person that exists and does have a plan.
Okay.
And there's only the big bad of the big bad of the Hitman team left. So we are getting into the thick of it.
Are we?
We are.
Are we?
We are.
I hope so.
Oh, we are, baby.
Because all I've seen so far is there's a MacGuffin. Go get it.
Yeah, get the. You need the MacGuffin.
The MacGuffin has a boss fight. Win the boss fight. Get the MacGuffin. Here's a new MacGuffin.
There's now go get the other fight. MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how anime works. God,
this is killing me.
This is just anime. This is anime storyline. What are you talking about?
No.
What are you talking about? Listen, you know what the MacGuffin was in Attack on Titan?
No.
The thing in the basement.
It's not a MacGuffin if you don't get it.
They got it. It's a MacGuffin.
Yeah, how long did it take to get it?
I don't know, like 2 seasons?
No, like 3.
Whatever. See, that's the most boring MacGuffin. It took so long.
Because it's not a MacGuffin, because it's important.
It's a MacGuffin.
No,
it's a MacGuffin.
Ah, no. Yeah, so yeah, the show continues to be bullshit.
This show continues to be amazing.
Amazing bullshit.
I love it. But then we move on to your pick, Promised Neverland.
Yeah, so we left off, and Norman has accused Ray of being
you snitch, bitch.
Traitor.
Fucking snitch.
And this whole first episode is Ray and Norman having like this intense dialogue, and the whole result is Ray is like, "I'm a double-crossing traitor because I'm really secretly a triple-crossing traitor."
Or am I?
Or am I? But guess what? We're on the same side. I'm not your enemy, but I'm a traitor. I betrayed you. I'm betraying Mom. We're going to get out of here.
Wait, what side are you on?
Not yours.
Don't worry about it.
But we're getting out of here. One deal, though. Lie to Emma. We're not taking everybody. Okay?
Also, doesn't he say no to that? Like, he's like, no, we're taking everybody.
No, he agrees to it.
Oh, yeah.
He agrees. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then I think he's secretly lying to Ray about that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, the show is all about lying now. To each other.
Yeah.
To your friends.
The Never Liar Land.
Yeah.
I like it.
So that's literally what that whole first episode was.
Yeah, it was. Was that love show you like where it's the two lovers?
Oh, Kaguya-sama? Yeah.
You know, like how in the Gigguk thing, they're like, this show is basically a fleshed out version of the potato chip scene.
Yeah.
Like that. This was this episode. Like this was the potato chip scene from Death Note where people are just trying to outsmart each other like crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Which was cool.
Yeah.
But the thing is that also in this episode, we have Dawn and the new girl.
Gilda.
And Dawn is pissed off because he's not being trusted, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
Because Don feels like they've been withholding information from him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is not wrong.
Oh, he's not wrong. And that leads into the second episode where Don and Gilda go off to find...
Well, that happens at the end of the first episode.
Oh, yeah, you're right. At the end of the first, yeah. They go off to find it, and they do find it.
They find a secret room that they think that Mom has. Because of the way the rooms are laid out and the way the hallway is laid out, that there should be more rooms behind Mom's room.
Yeah. So they go off to find it.
Yeah.
And then this week's episode, they roll around and they do find the room.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time...
I find it's locked.
Yeah. It's locked. They find... But then they find the little... What is it? At the it's like a hatch.
Well, at first they have to steal the key from Mom, right?
Steal the key from the Mom. They go in. They find the bookshelf that moves.
Yep.
It's a secret room.
There's a secret room inside a secret room.
But it's just a bookshelf.
Yeah.
But then on the floor, there's a hatch. They go down that floor. And in that floor, they find all the previous toys of all the previous children.
Who have been shipped off early.
Yeah, and this is where Dawn starts to make the connection that maybe they're not alive.
Yeah, maybe they're, some heinous
they're
shit.
Dead. Yeah. What has Norman and Ray been holding from us?
Yeah.
And then they go and move some more stuff, and they find that this secret room holds a communications device. And they don't know who Mom is communicating with.
Yes.
While this is happening, our main trio are up discussing, I guess, plans again, and talking about Dawn and Gilda and stuff. I think, yeah.
Yeah.
From then on, they reconvene together. And
Dawn's pissed.
Dawn is mad. Dawn has made all these connections in his head, and now he feels like he's been left out of the circle, secrets are being kept from him, and he is not trusted.
Yeah.
He lets his emotions get the best of him, and he fucking punches everyone.
This is where I fucking hate Dawn.
Why?
Because Dawn is the character that is not he's not frustrated with other people. He is frustrated with himself.
Yeah.
Right? He is frustrated that he's not strong enough. He's frustrated that he's not smart enough.
Yeah.
He's frustrated that he couldn't make these connections before, and he now feels like a literal child.
Yeah.
Because he has been left out of this discussion, yeah, so to say. And he doesn't then take that and then be, oh yeah, I should improve. He then takes that and goes, y'all bitches, fuck you, and then just goes hog wild.
He's a kid.
Yeah, I know, but he still sucks.
But he's a kid.
But he's still... Listen, so is Emma, all right? So is Ray.
But those three are prodigies.
Listen, Dawn, they're still kids, though.
Dawn's just your Joe Schmo kiddo.
Yeah, but I can hold him up to a higher standard.
No, you cannot.
I can't.
No, you cannot. I can't. But yeah, so he gets mad, he punches them, but then, you know... things turn around and they're like,
also this part of the show, like, how didn't the whole fucking house just hear them? Right? They're just throwing punches, they are yelling at each other, they're getting physical fights.
Yeah.
People just dropping like sacks of potatoes. Like, that is noise, man. And that is a small, it's a large house, but it's not that large.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know how, yeah.
How was the whole thing not just unraveled right then and there?
Yeah, I don't know. That part was a little confusing because they were pretty loud. And, like, why are they out of bed?
Yeah. And they even went outside to, like, yell.
Yeah, so I don't really understand that part. But on one hand, I guess they know that Mom knows that they know about the situation. That she's not going to do anything.
Yeah.
Because she's going to play it cool. So I guess that's how they got that done. But the following day, Ray goes on to be a rat.
Yeah.
And feed quote unquote fake lies to Mom.
Yep.
About why he got.
The thing is like, are they fake lies? Because.
I don't know.
Because it was like, Norman said, I'm having Ray feed Mom false information.
Yeah.
And then it seems like Ray just said all the true things. Like, there was a rope that they're trying to poison Mom. Like, maybe the poison Mom part isn't real, but like, he still picked up like insecticide and stuff. But maybe that's part of it. Like, he used the poisoning as a cover for them to switch it with something else, and now they have a more useful item inside those jars instead.
I don't know. Yeah. It's tough to say. But the show is about the episode's about to come to an end, and this is where the twist comes, because our motley crew are talking about their plans.
Everything in the forest.
Uh-huh. And then they see a big dark shadow.
This was the creepy part, because they walk by it, right? And you don't really catch it until they double back on the camera and you see it again. You're like, oh fuck.
Yeah, it's sister,
dude,
and she's a she's crazy, and all of this show's animation budget goes to her actions.
Yeah, in this one scene.
Yeah, it all boils down to her saying, "I saw what you guys are doing last night.
I heard you.
I know you five know what's really up.
Yeah,
want to team up?
Yeah,
and you're just like, oh fuck,
oh fuck, this is the biggest wrench. Yeah. Like that is one of the biggest cliffhangers since that kid got eaten.
Yeah, because like, now it's just like, well, can you? They not say like they have to say yes, right?
Well, what other option do they have?
Exactly. If they say no, then what?
They're getting shipped. Fucked. Yeah, they're getting shipped off. It's over. So, right? They have to say yes.
Yeah. But yeah, that complicates matters.
I like Sister as a third party, where Sister doesn't really care, for better or for worse, about
Mom. She's a shit disturber.
Yeah, about Mom, about the kids escaping. She couldn't give a shit.
Yeah.
She just wants to be a mom.
Yeah.
Right? She doesn't want to be a sister. She wants to be a mom.
She's in it to win it.
Yeah.
Like, she has a simple goal, and she will achieve it by any means necessary. And I think that's what makes her good.
Yeah.
So.
She's the Joker. She's the wild card.
Yeah. Yeah, the show still is progressing at a pretty thriller-like crawl.
Yeah, but the thing is, unlike Goblin Slayer, it actually gives you things to look forward to.
It does. It definitely, and things definitely seem pretty thought out and connected, so Looking forward to more.
And just like we're talking about now, things to discuss.
Yeah.
Like, where could the show go? What can it do?
Yeah. I do feel like, because we're only on, what, like, episode 6?
Yeah.
It definitely feels like we've been watching the show longer than...
Yeah, there's a lot of information
going on. Yeah, so when I think of it that way, then yeah, it's only 6 episodes in. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's progressing at about the rate that it should, I suppose.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, so cool show.
Still pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say, after watching that Giguk video,
yeah,
I'm definitely going to watch Domestic Girlfriend.
You watch 3 episodes of Domestic Girlfriend by next week. Yeah. I'll watch 3 episodes of Domestic Girlfriend for next week.
Yeah.
And we'll just review it on the regular show.
Okay. Fuck. Because that show looks fucking spicy.
That looks like trash.
Oh my God.
Trashiest of trash.
Jesus. We got to see that. Yeah, I got to talk about that.
And so, wait, it's like, so the dad doesn't marry the teacher. The dad marries the mom whose daughters are the teacher and the random hookup.
Yes.
That's so spicy.
The spice is hot.
Damn.
Tune in next week when we talk about the spicy.
Yeah. Peace out.